Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome, and you are tuned into Africa Global Radio, streaming from our base here in Accra, Ghana, to every corner of the world. My name is Alba K. Supreme, and it is my pleasure to give you another edition of the Arts Africa Show. It's the first Saturday of the penultimate month of the year, so soon 2021 is going to be over. Charlie, how time flies. I think, like, since March, every month, I'm like, wow, the month has just gone really fast. And all of a sudden, the year is suddenly going to be at an end. Anyway, the time is 12 p.m. GMT here in Accra, Ghana. It's 1 p.m. in Abuja, Nigeria, 2 p.m. in Lusaka, Zambia, and 3 p.m. in Nairobi, Kenya. We are going to, as you always know, we're going to showcase and encourage all that is good creatively and artistically in Africa. So as you know, it is time for more African excellence. Now, before I move on, we've tweaked the show a little bit. And so now we're going to focus more on our guest. And of course, because we're doing that, the show is going to be a little bit shorter. So have a listen, enjoy the show, and then give us your feedback on, you know, the changes that we've put in place. So make sure you're checking us out on africaglobalradio.com. On Instagram and Twitter, we are at AF Global Radio. Facebook, Africa Global Radio. And of course, you can send us a WhatsApp on +233 207 064680. Arts Africa is brought to you by Africa Global Radio. Now, before we kind of scoot on forward, let me just do a little shout out to our partner, sister company in the Upper West region in Wa, and our partner station is W93.5 FM. That's our partner company. Or should I say our partner station. And so if you enjoy what we do here on Africa Global Radio, then you are definitely going to enjoy W93.5 FM. And they are based in Wa in the Upper West region of Ghana. So guys, keep up the good work up there. Now, this is going to be your first introduction to our guest today. She is a bold, strong voice singer, songwriter, musician. And her name is Esifil. The track of her song is Lost, and it's a feel-good song about being so deeply in love that you might end up losing yourself. The type of love that is a little toxic but fun, I don't know about that, and enjoyable at the same time. So enjoy, and very soon she will be with us in the studio. Yeah, yeah.
In your love. Africa Global Radio. Make una tune in, oh, now they're the better tunes they come out from.
Okay, so that was Lost by Esifil. Okay, so right now let's just have a little taster of what is available on Africa Global Radio during the week.
Karibu, Saubona, Ekabo, Sanunku. Hello and welcome to the Africa Daily Show on Africa Global Radio, a daily magazine program that highlights happenings in Africa and the diaspora. On this show, we bring you positive news across the African continent, newspaper headlines across Africa, and trends on social media with Epifania Jokotogligui.
Good news.
For today's AGR good news, we have Uganda starts mass production of its first smartphone.
Today we remember a segment that revisits significant days in global African history. Interesting facts about Africa on the Did You Know segment.
Did you know
DR Congo is the largest producer of cobalt in the world?
Individuals and groups who are contributing to the progress of Africa on African Champions.
So Paris Bosire is our African champion for today.
And on What's On and What's New, I, Mami Aba Amuaminta, presents what's happening in the world of events, conferences, trade fairs, the latest in music, books, films, fashion, art, theater, and the newest trends.
What's new?
So you're a fan of music?
I am actually.
And you know Davido?
Oh yeah, even in my sleep.
So yeah. His A Good Time album has hit 1 billion streams on all platforms worldwide.
Wow. This and much more great music across Africa and the diaspora.
Join us on Monday to Friday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. GMT
on Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
I absolutely love listening to Africa Global Radio. Please, guys, keep listening. Let's keep Africa going.
Okay, so that was what you will get on the Africa Daily Show during the week. And now, very soon, you are going to hear our guest. But you hear her voice. Let me just give you a little snippet about her. Her name, and she makes it very clear to tell people how to pronounce it in three syllable, Esilfi. Esilfi. And she is an Afro soul singer, songwriter, amongst many other talents. This dynamic young rising star has been in love with music and melodies from a very, very young age, thanks to her parents introducing her to a wide range of eclectic music. She loves to speak and is very vocal about what she believes in. And this has manifested across podcasting, public speaking, activism, and voice acting. She truly believes in herself, and she says she is a legend in the making. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Sylphie. Welcome, welcome to Shocks. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell me, how has your week been?
My week has been good. Mm-hmm. Just working on music, you know. And living, basically.
Yeah. So what, are you working on an album or you just creating, writing? What are you doing?
Well, I'm working on music, you know, just individual projects, but I'm also working on an EP. I'm working on two EPs.
Okay.
I have a joint EP with producer Dread W that is scheduled to come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also working on my personal EP, which was supposed to come out like last year, but due to some circumstances
and COVID, because COVID, you know, too wasn't very friendly to anybody.
So because of that, I wasn't able to complete the project, even though I had written and I had recorded the songs. It hadn't been put through the final stages of the mixing and mastering.
Okay.
So I decided to just wait a bit. Even this year still hasn't been so, you know, so next year I would release the EP.
Yeah, well, this year is nearly over, so yes, everyone should like just be wrapping up and stuff. Exactly. Anyway, before we jump into this convo, we like to find out, you know, something about your reading habits. And so what have you brought to share with us today?
Oh, okay. So I brought The Gods Are Not to Blame.
Yeah. Why that particular book?
I always thought it was a very interesting book. I read it. I used to read this book when I was growing up, and it's just in the house, you know. Well, I feel like it has something to do with fate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like your destiny, even though it's in your hands, right? What you want to do, what is meant for you, nobody can actually like take it away from you.
Like we have a proverb that says you can't set sail with somebody's star.
Exactly. Yeah. So what is meant for you is meant for you. No matter how you go and turn it and you twist it, you know, in the book, the oracle said he was
going to... Is there a bit of it you're going to read for us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That should be...
Pick something to read for us, then we can have a little convo about that.
Of course.
Because, I mean, I read it a very long time ago. So, like, once you go, do you remember that part? I'm going to say no. So...
I mean, I can read a page.
Okay.
So, it's a play. I want to read from a very, you know, understandable part, or else it'll just be like
Is it in reference to what you were just talking about?
Yeah, I wanted to read the weather oracle, you know, said that basically a story is about a chief's son, or a chief and a queen's son, when they had the baby, the oracle came to say that the baby would grow up and kill the father, marry the mother.
Like Oedipus Rex?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's the themes used in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they had it, they were scared. So they ordered somebody to kill the baby. And the person did not kill the baby. He took the baby to another town and raised the child, because always just the child. And, you know, but he ended up becoming the chief of that town, coming there, came back to his hometown, killed his father and married his mother, because, you know, actually, when you become the new chief, you have to
take over. Or take a stool wife.
Exactly, exactly. So, okay, so this is, I think, the prologue.
Mm-hmm.
It says, all actions in this book, prologue, so it's talking about the... Okay, narrator. The struggles of man begins at birth. It is meet then that our play begins with the birth of a child. The place of the land of Kutuje, a baby has just been born to King Adetusa and his wife Ojuola. The king and the queen of his land of this land, Kutuje, merry singing and drumming,
mm-hmm.
enter Queen Ojuola bearing baby swaddled in white linen. She is accompanied by elderly women in a dance procession. Next, King Adetusa and his entourage of chiefs, prominent among them, the tall, balding Ogun priests.
Mm-hmm.
It is their first baby, so they bring him for blessing to the shrine of Ogun, the god of war, of iron,
mm-hmm.
and doctor of all male children. Then they call the priest of Ifa, as is the custom, to divine the future that his boy has brought with him. Narrator. So the narrator says, Baba Fakunle, oldest and most knowing of all Ifa priests in this world, it is you I greet. Mother waits, father waits. Now tell them, what is it that the child has brought as duty to this earth from the gods? And then Baba Fakunle rises and moves aside. King Adetusa and Queen Ojuola advance towards him. Yeah. Now Baba Fakunle tells mother tells father, tells priest of Ogun and aged keeper of the king's household and the land. He tells them what it is the boy has brought as mission from the gods to carry out on earth. This boy, he will kill his own father and then marry his own mother. The townspeople sing a dirge softly. So,
if it was Nollywood, they would do, ha!
Yes, they would. Exactly. They would be like, what's going on? Like the shock. And then they started singing a dirge. So they knew that this means the child has to be killed or something. Okay.
And so basically, in line with what you said earlier, it's literally like, whatever is yours, is yours. Whether you achieve it or not, right?
No, I meant like whatever is yours will definitely come to you. As long as you have life,
yeah.
I mean, it would come to you.
I mean, yeah, there's that. But then I think there are so many external forces.
That's true.
There are, you know, I was going through something recently and, you know, someone sent me, I was talking to someone about it and a close friend, and they sent me a Tyler Perry sort of talk about
mm-hmm.
overcoming things. And I was thinking, yeah, great, Tyler Perry, but you live in a country where there are opportunities
exactly.
in the arts. You live in a place where
the systems are working
the
better.
The systems are working and there are actually things in place.
Yeah.
So everything you say is true. But when you put it in the context where I'm from, it doesn't work. So it's not a universal truth.
That's true.
You know, and so when I said about, what is yours, but you may not achieve it.
That's true.
Is the reality for me is something that I believe.
I feel like if you are not put in the right position, or you're not in the right state of mind, or you're not given the right opportunities, definitely what is yours can miss you.
And then we can go further. In our part of the world, we also have the spiritual realm.
Yes.
People run into places and wanting to stop your progress as opposed to getting something to elevate them.
Exactly.
It seems that here, when people deal with the spiritual world,
they are not enriching themselves. They're just bringing people down.
Bringing people down. So, you know, there's also that side, that side to it. But it's a beautiful play. And then, of course, I love the title.
Gods are not to blame.
Gods are not to blame, because, you know, especially when we live in a society that's very religious and everything, oh, in the hands of God, it's the hand of God, and you expect God to do everything for you when you've also been given skills of your own to try and, you know, move forward. So that title always makes me laugh.
But I feel like if the oracle didn't say nothing, nothing would have happened. You would have just grown up as a prince.
But you see, now that's an interesting thing, because then everybody was now on edge waiting for this guy to do something.
Exactly. So then they fulfilled the destiny by putting him in the hands of somebody to kill, but the person ended up...
Because you see, in that situation, you need to do the job yourself to make sure it's done properly.
Exactly.
Or at least done in front of you so that you know that...
Yeah, he's gone.
Gone. And I bury the body yourself, because you can never trust anybody, you know. And fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Okay, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to listen to another song of yours. The title is Hurt. Tell us about Hurt. What is what's the song about and what inspired it?
Okay, so the song Hurt is basically about a couple which have become a little bit estranged because one person, or the lady, has done something to the guy which he considers unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady is just trying to, you know, be sorry, cajole him, you know. That's what Hurt is about. And then the guy's like, you know, stay away.
Is it Shakara or is it like really stay away?
No, you know, it's Shakara a little bit, but yeah. But you hear the both sides, yeah. And it's not always, you know, the man saying sorry. This time it's like the lady saying.
So, in your opinion, in like for real life, what is unforgivable? What is a deal breaker in a relationship?
I think for deal breakers, different people have different things. For me personally, I think cheating is a deal breaker.
That means you can... Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. But you can barely date anybody from here.
Because everybody's cheating. No! I don't want to believe that. But yes, I mean, cheating is a deal breaker for me. I think also... maybe our goals, future goals, being
violence.
Very violence. Yes, that's a big deal breaker. Abuse of any manipulation of any sort. No, but also with our goals or our future goals are too far apart. Then what is the point? You know.
And then you need somebody who supports you as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's listen to Hurt, and then when we come back, we are going to find out about your career in music.
Away from me, nowhere cruising, they bust trees, yeah. anything she wants, I give. Baby, please tell me what's the reason. I'm out for a girl season, so your boy said he pleaded. Girl, I need healing.
This is Trigmatic, and you're listening to Africa Global Radio. Stay tuned.
Exactly as Trigmatic says, stick to Africa Global Radio. Okay, madam. What sets you apart from the other female singers here in Ghana?
I think even the music itself sets me apart, because I do music that is wildly experimental and...
Mm-hmm. Explain that a bit.
When I say experimental, right, I'm not afraid to try new things. I'm not afraid to try doing funk. I'm not afraid to do, you know, I'm not afraid to not even be sure of the genre I'm doing. Just feel like if it feels right, it feels right. And I don't know if you've gone through my catalogue, but like if you listen to my music, you've realized that it's wildly a bit different. Mm-hmm. Like it's not, and I'm not confined to a genre. It's not strictly Afrobeat, or it's not strictly highlife, or it's not strictly R&B. It's just the mix and match of all these beautiful music,
genres of music. Yeah. Okay, so then talk to us a bit about the role music played in your early life.
Well, music and I have always had like a relationship, because my parents loved music. My dad loved the 80s music, and you know, he likes Lucky Dubé and all these, you know, reggae artists. And my mom is more of like a country,
Dolly Parton, yes. Kenny Rogers, yes, type. Okay.
Yes, that's what she liked to listen
this
to.
This was really funny. Before I moved to Ghana, and I used to come here on holidays, and it always fascinated me how you'd meet so many Ghanaians who were so into country music. I always found that very strange.
Yeah, so that's why I don't agree that when people say that Ghanaians won't understand the sound, and it doesn't make any sense, because if people are playing this music daily on the radio or whatever, they would like it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't just get accustomed to it because they feel like, oh, maybe you are a Ghanaian, so you should be doing high life. No, that's not it. But they would be able to understand if the music is good, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like it when people say, oh, this music you're doing, the Ghanaians will not understand, or they won't understand. If you want a niche, or you want like people who like a particular song type of music, you get them.
Because I think also the other thing too is, because most people's music gets out via maybe radio or like these music shows, often those at the radio stations are the gatekeepers as to what
is going to trend, isn't it?
Yeah. To trend. So then that, how do you deal with something like that? Because already you've had commentary, and it's probably the mindset of quite a lot of these gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And because of that reason, we keep on hearing more or less the same stuff. So how do you...
Well, I maneuver through social media, but then there are some radio stations that have been helpful, or they don't mind playing alternative music or different music from what is going on the mainstream, like Guide Radio and YFM, and when Live FM was around, too.
They were more experimental.
They were more accepting, I think, maybe sometimes City FM. And then there was one time I reached out to this station, the alternative station, I think, Atlantic.
Atlantis.
And I mean, they played my song like once, but they said they were more for playing old music and but, not, you know, the more modern alternative music.
But the thing is, your voice is very... is very kind of soulful and very. I would have thought that would be Atlantis's music actually.
Yeah,
where you're driving and you just need that nice voice.
You know, people are scared to play new stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's what I feel because at the end of the day, you play new stuff. But then, how would people know the song if you don't keep playing it?
Yeah, if you don't keep on.
Yeah, they wouldn't know the song automatically because it doesn't mix into your playlist because it's not known. So you feel like, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not fair, but I get it.
But well, activism is part of your repertoire, isn't it? So maybe this is also something where more and more people like you need to push for the doors to open up for us more things. Okay, so I read something about the Black Girls Glow that you were a part of. Tell us about it. What is it? How did you get involved and how did your participation impact and influence your music?
Well, Black Girls Glow is an initiative to foster collaboration amongst women and women coming together to make creative work, mostly music related or poetry, you aimed at enriching our community as well as, you know, just learning about ourselves, you know, having fun, I guess. It was for me, I was the only participant at that time. We were four.
Okay.
So it's been there since, I think, I was just like a new participant.
So what is it? Did you approach them or did they approach you?
Well, a friend who went for Black Girls Glow last 2 years.
Okay.
Hit me up. She was like, oh, these people are doing a call for, you know, creatives, with female creatives to come in, and it was educated, it was fun. So I should just, you know, apply, you know. And I was like, okay, let me see what it's about. So I clicked onto the link, I read it, and I was like, okay, this is cool. And then I applied, I did all the necessary, you know, video, CV, whatever. Yeah, I did all that, and I got in. They don't select a lot of people. They select six women per every year.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, but then we were four because at the last minute, two girls dropped out.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that made one of the facilitators very iffy because she was like, no, we've ruined chances for other girls to have come on.
But it is what it is.
I was like, maybe it's for the better.
Yeah.
So we went ahead with it. It was very insightful because we did workshops. That was music writing workshops. How to, you know, that was how to create music from scratch. Like, we did a lot of workshops. So workshop, and then you'd write something. Mm-hmm. You present it. And then we build on that in the evening in the studio. So we were supposed to create 13 songs in 6 days. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we were at Kokrobite Institute, very beautiful place. We didn't even get to enjoy the scenery.
What's her name? Auntie Renee.
Yes, Auntie Renee.
Yeah, that place is amazing.
Yeah,
they do some really fantastic stuff.
Auntie Renee even gave us like a freestyle, you know.
Can you imagine? Oh, yeah. I wouldn't put it past her because she's so. Yeah.
So we were at a beautiful location, but we didn't even get to enjoy the scene because we were just working and working and working. And
six,
you know,
days as well. The yeah. pressure must have been long.
Yes, 13 songs, no joke.
And so, then what happens to the 13 songs?
They're out now, by the way. Yes. So it's an album.
Okay.
Every year an album is made.
What's the title of it?
Fighting for Air.
Fighting for Air. And so was there a specific theme when you went? Or did you guys come up with a theme together?
No, there was a theme before we joined. Got, yeah.
Okay.
So this year's theme was hashtag protest.
Okay, and the Fighting for Air sounds very George Floyd inspired.
Yeah, so it's all, you see, because of the lockdown and the COVID, we've not been able to, or we haven't been able to fully protest the way we want to in the street, because then again, they will come and see, use COVID as an excuse to kick you out of the street when you're protesting. Yeah. So we took last year's dilemma and SARS,
yes,
Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
every hashtag, Me Too, every hashtag protest, and we are putting it into a project. So that was what inspired the project. There are some songs that are more personal, but then the general feel of that album is to shout our grievances and also empower.
I like the title. I like the title. It's very powerful because
I'm glad.
Because it's not even just about the George Floyd situation, but it's about oppression.
Yes, in all forms.
In all forms, and you have to fight to be able to breathe.
Exactly.
Freedom. So, talking about the Black Girls Glow, talk about your own creative process with your music, like from inspiration or idea to the final product that we listen to. What's your creative process like?
Okay, so day to day, I always write down things I'm feeling in my notes. So that is part of my creative process, even though it's not an active part. And when I hear a beat, the first thing I think about is melodies.
Mm-hmm.
I start to create the melodies and I record the melodies, and then when I feel whatever I feel like the melody is saying is what the subject matter will be. If not, like, I just open my notes, you know. Well, especially when you're making music from scratch, sometimes you just have to look within yourself and see what do you want to talk about today, or what, you know. So either I open my notes or I just put a subject matter there and then I just start writing. So as I'm creating the melody, I'm going to deduct words and add words and, you know, structure it better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's basically how my process is like.
And then, of course, then you get into the studio.
Yes.
And how long is that process? Or not that it's 5 days, but obviously each piece is different. But in general, how long does it take you to go through that process?
So in general, if I'm given, like, let's say I'm given a beat today, or I'm supposed to write a song today, it should take me like today. Yes.
Wow. Because I always have in my mind that, you know,
I mean, it depends on everybody, you know. Yeah, like, it's not every song that I would be able to do in a day, but if the day is free and for me, I don't see why I can't finish it. But usually what I do is, like, I finished writing at home.
Yeah.
And then when I come to the studio, I finish it.
Okay. And then I suppose, you know, as you're, because obviously you don't just come and do one take, but as you're doing, you kind of feel like, oh, you know, here can do with a little bit.
Exactly.
Do you have collaborators? I mean, once you get to the studio, you have a studio engineer or somebody who can say, hey, you know, I've got an idea for this, or...
I do have a sound engineer, and I also have, like, a manager.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are there with me, they tell me, oh, you can do this that way or that way. And sometimes I work with writers. I do not have a problem working with writers.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't been able to readily find people available to work. Or to collaborate.
Or even music for you.
Yes, because I feel like it's not every experience that I can put in my own words. There are people who are more gifted, and we should give them the opportunity to also like showcase their creativity through you.
Yeah.
So, or collaborate with them. So I feel like, yeah, I don't have all the experiences. I'm very young. So I feel like I can work with writers.
Yeah. You know? So what does your manager do for you? Because I was kind of thinking, okay, because it would be like the manager who you'd think would, in my mind, like, this is where we need you to go.
Mm-hmm.
These are your strengths. We need somebody to collaborate with you on this side. Or is it you that has to figure all of that out?
Oh, no, I don't have to figure out all of that. But he has brought collaborators in the, you know.
Because, I mean, you've done, you've featured people on
yes,
your music.
Yes,
yeah.
He brought some collaborators. And he brought a writer, I think when I was writing Krokromi, he brought a writer. But, like I said, it's not all the time that these writers are readily available.
Of course.
But yeah, we're still working on more things. So
yeah, hopefully. I mean, and I suppose if a writer wrote something and brought it to you and your management, and you like felt it, you would obviously also take it.
Yeah.
On. So I suppose maybe it's writers as well can also start approaching musicians.
Exactly.
With stuff and
I feel like people
deals.
Always say, "Oh, you're not a real musician if you use writers." That's not true. Yeah, people, I mean... And
Whitney Houston, them were having people writing for them.
And it's normal. Like, you don't have all the experience or all the ideas. Sometimes
yes.
you don't even know how to express your feelings the best way. And writers are there to help you put down what you feel.
Or even
what they have experienced or what, you know, what you don't have the range to do.
Or it's like another perspective
or
like an editor who looks over it and says, well,
exactly.
okay, yeah, right, he feels the sentiment, but it might be better if we say it this way.
Yes, or sing it that way, or even change. And then there are like composers too, those to just create melodies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all these people are important, but I mean, we'll get there eventually.
I also think it's literally, I think, the same issue that a lot of the arts suffer from, in the sense that because there isn't a defined structure, you often find out that you have to start off by doing literally everything.
Yes, exactly.
Until maybe you've made some money or you're in a position
exactly.
to bring other people
exactly.
on board. So filmmakers start off and you're doing your camera, your sound, your editing, your writing, your directing, you're
yes.
doing everything on your own.
Yes, that is it. That
until,
is it.
You know, you can move the next door.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay, you mentioned your song Krokromi.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll have a listen to that, and then we're going to come back.
So Krokromi is basically a song about pampering, you know, your girl. I use girl because I was using myself. Pampering your girl because sometimes when we're in a relationship, we get very complacent. We don't want to do the things we used to do anymore. We don't want to, you know, give the girl a little cuddle or a little, like, we've just become very boring and, you know, left our partners to do whatever they want to do. And then maybe when we feel like, no, but that's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a conscious effort every day. So it's basically a song that says step up your game.
Okay.
Or else you're going to lose your person.
Okay, excellent. So let's have a listen to that and then we'll come back. And then I want to find out about, you know, when you're performing and, you know, music, you know, when you're on stage. So let's listen to Krokromi.
Odeye do Yenko Krokromi, Krokromi, Krokromi no biyanda fao Krokromi, Krokromi, Krokromi no biyanda fao Wama matre wache, efye miensanye Wama matinisyo, mami honye nafo Krokromi, Krokromi, Krokromi no biyanda fao Krokromi, Krokromi, Krokromi no bien de fao Mato etio, brana beto udo ya mi do Me huya mi do, me huya na mi huya mi yijiji I am yijiji, yeah Please stay tonight, tonight and forever
Keep listening to Africa Global Radio.
Okay, I hope you guys heard that. Pamper your ladies and your men so that, you know, the relationship is spiced up and it feels good and nobody feels like they have to run off somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, etc. Okay, so which is your favorite song to perform?
That is interesting. Okay, I think currently my favorite song to perform is Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite song to perform because it just has like this vibe. When I'm performing it, it gives like a different feel from like the original song.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And what's explain to us that feel?
Well, the song is funk. It's mm-hmm. funky. I think it's funk stroke R&B
mm-hmm.
feeling, but when I sing it, I can slow it down. I just get immersed in the song, you know. It's just, you know.
And so does it also depend on the location? Like, for instance, if you're performing in like a little bar as opposed to maybe a big event, would you give it a different feel?
I think with each place
mm-hmm.
it gives a different feel because I don't perform. I usually don't perform one thing the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do change it up a bit. Because
I suppose when the audience are there, depending on the audience's energy as well, no?
Yeah, pretty much. And sometimes it depends on like what you're using. Sometimes the organizers will provide you a full band. Cool. Yeah. So it gives a different feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Other times you would have to bring a guitarist. Different vibe. With just acoustic is a very different vibe.
Yes.
So it really depends on, you know, what you are given and how best you can use that to your advantage.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was thinking, oh, it also depends on, like, as you said, the venue. Because, like, for instance, on YouTube, they have the Tiny Desk Concert. But there's always a full band crammed into that little place behind those desks. But then obviously lighting as well, you know, if you're just on a stage with a guitarist and a pool of light pouring on you, you know, everybody just
vibing.
Tell us about your best and worst performance.
I think I'll start with my worst
mm-hmm.
because
then you can cover it with a good
one. Yes. So I think the first time I performed live was my worst performance because I was shaking, my voice was shaking,
mm-hmm.
I was not on key, I think. Yeah, there was just a lot of things gone wrong. The sound wasn't the best, too. So it was just inshallah and vibes, you know, just. But, it was an experience.
Mm.
And it didn't put me off that I wouldn't perform it. And I just was like, nah, I just need to get better.
But you weren't booed, were you?
No, I wasn't rude. I'm sure they were too polite to do that. But I could feel it. Because the mic was shaking. I was shaking. I had to move just to make sure that they didn't notice I just moved a little bit. But even though those moments were very awkward.
But so. Really, congrats that you actually walked out to the mic and did it, you know?
Yes. I mean, that too. But I felt so bad about that performance. And I was like, nah, you know what? It just gets better from here. Mm-hmm. So
it can't get any worse, right?
I mean, it can, but as long as I'm willing to work on it.
Yeah.
Then we can progress from there.
Yeah.
Best performance. I think anytime I do an acoustic performance, it's mm-hmm. it's my best because I feel like I work better with the guitar than a full band.
Okay.
Yeah. With just the guitar, I work better with just the guitar than like a full band performance. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because sometimes the band, they're trying to overshadow you, play. Really? You know? Like, it depends, you know. So I feel like I still have a lot to learn about band control and, like, you know, controlling. But then sometimes they're just trying to play the drums over your head. And you just want, and with the guitar, it's just you and the guitar. So you guys can just have the synergy. Yeah.
Because you can't outshout a drum, but you can definitely outshout a guitar. Exactly.
the full band makes me want to shout because now I have to.
Like, everybody's showing their thing.
The guitar is and then the drums and then the keyboardist and maybe a saxophone something.
Gosh, once you get the brass section in, you're in trouble.
But I like the full band because they give a nice vibe to it, but at the end of the day sometimes they can overshadow your mm-hmm. vocals mm-hmm. and that becomes stressful for a strain for you because now you have to and a soft song you have to now shout
and then for the audience as well, it's like, you know, we came here, this is what we came here to, not exactly. to listen to the drama. Okay, talking about you liking to be a guitar or should I say you like working with guitarists, question: if you were a musical instrument, what musical instrument would you be?
Okay, that's interesting. I would be a saxophone.
Because it's sultry.
Because it's a sexy, it just produces that sexy sound. Mm-hmm. That's like, I think that's me, like, you know, that smoothness.
Yes.
That's what I identify myself to be, smooth. So, yeah.
And with your music, is it mostly a lot of your music's about relationships?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I feel like, first of all, sometimes you have a lot to unpack, but you don't know how to unpack it, so you just unpack your music. I've seen a lot. I think that's what relationships are, something that everybody would experience, or not, maybe not everybody, but most people would experience in their lifetime. Other, yes. Yeah. So it makes sense to sing about it, but pretty much it's just me offloading, you know. And sometimes it's not something that I'm going through, it's just mostly something I've seen, something I've heard, or something I have gone through a while back, which I'm now
sort of able to process
and bring it out. Yeah.
Okay. If you could open a show or collaborate with any artist, dead or alive, from whichever part of the world, who would it be?
Collaborate with any artist, dead or alive.
From any part of the world. Anybody. Doesn't matter who they are, but who's that person who you wish you could open for?
Michael Jackson.
Wow. Yeah. I was actually thinking Prince.
Rather. But, you know. Michael Jackson is Michael Jackson, you know. He's like, he's up there. Yeah.
For me. Way up there.
I mean, it's nothing that cannot be achieved, but. I mean, it's something that cannot be achieved now, but like I'm saying, like the feat, it can be achieved. It's just, you know, if the opportunity is given but I'm hopeful that I would reach such a level, not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you chose somebody who is dead. What about somebody who is alive now? Because then that one is really
That one is real. Yeah. if I could open for Jill Scott or Erykah Badu or, you know,
Jill Scott, yeah.
Yeah, that would make me happy, I guess, yeah. Somebody in the soulful, you know, sector. Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know.
But not Lauryn Hill. But she probably won't show up. You're open and it's like, where's Lauryn?
Oh, I hope she does show up, though.
No, but she's terrible for showing up.
Wow. They have a concert in Ghana, I think, in December. I don't know if it's coming on or not.
But her recent one, that the Fugees reunion, was later. People were so upset. But anyway. Okay. How do you feel the internet has impacted the music business here in Ghana?
I think the internet has made a way for more artists that wouldn't have been able to get a way in.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you can easily trend. Not easily. It's not easy at all. It's by building a fan base. But you can trend if the music is received or if it's good, you know.
Or if there's a gimmick. I mean, look what One Corner did to this guy. I mean, friends abroad were contacting me. Alba, we hear this song, One Corner. And I'm like, are you people crazy? Is this what you are contacting me for?
I don't judge. I feel like all types of music can make it.
Yeah.
I feel like all types of Ghanaian music can make it because people, you know, this song was trending on TikTok. Ebony's, was it Sponza? Yeah. Uh-huh. Was trending on TikTok. I think Dre was trending on TikTok. Like, all the types of music can go far.
Mm.
However, like, the internet has made it easier for artists that don't have access to radio people to, like, also push. Because at the end of the day, on the radio, you would hear on the major stations, that is, like, Baby, on the Joy, and then you'd hear the same people. And for you, an upcoming act, or to get there, you need to pay a lot of people, and they might not even play your music often, maybe once or twice.
Yeah,
you need, like, it's just a lot. But the internet has made it, like, easier to bring into people's faces. Now, how to convince them to stream is the only issue. But, yeah, it's easier now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't rely so much, too much on the radio, even though the radio is still important.
But, you, I mean, and literally, I suppose it's the same thing in the way that filmmaking has become, you know, somebody can film something on their phone.
Yes.
And upload it somewhere and, you know.
Exactly.
Somebody connects with it and woohoo, you know. It's all good.
I mean, you see how the Asaka movement came about.
Yeah.
They just came on the internet. Now they are blowing up. You have no choice but to play because they are the ones in season, right? So I feel like the internet has a major role to play. And even with Jackie and
mm-hmm.
Black Sheriff mm-hmm. and, you know, all these acts, the internet has had a major role to play in their,
you know, coming up.
Yes, yeah. Because if it was left with radio, Ghana Radio, I don't know.
They would be playing it to them and their friends.
They wouldn't, yeah, you know, they wouldn't be where they are now.
Yeah. Okay, if you could change anything about the industry, what would that be? Or the way music is done, or, you know.
Well, this industry, there are things I want to change. It's not just one thing. First of all, I think more acceptance of different sounds, because mm-hmm. in other countries, not here, but like maybe in South Africa or maybe Nigeria, they are so accepting of all types of sounds that everybody can find their niche mm-hmm. or their market.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not in the country, they'll push it to the needed crowd outside the country. Everybody, there's rap, there's the alternative, there's the R&Bs, there's the Afrobeats, there's the high life, and they are all flourishing. And I believe everybody can flourish. Now, but we don't support all the sounds, which makes it very monotonous. Everybody thinks you have to do a certain type of music to blow up.
Yeah.
And even that type of music is not the standard. It's not the, like, to me, it's not the standard, because it's not in the international scale. It's not going anywhere.
Mm.
So how then do you want to stifle the creative growth of artist in Ghana. So yeah, that's and then one other thing I want to change is like we need more accountability in the music industry. People's music are being played on the radio and on the TV.
No, nothing being played.
Nobody knows what's going on, and nobody, and like, I mean, some people understand what's supposed to be done, but nothing is happening.
Because I mean, yeah. I heard of there was a copyright office. Okay, so a friend of mine wanted to do an exercise video, and she wanted music with a certain artist.
Yeah.
She wanted me to produce the video for her. So I went to the copyright office to find out from them how much it would cost for us to use
that music
in the. And they literally said, well, contact the artist. And I was like, but I thought this would be the place where I come and you tell me if you're using it for X, Y, Z, for this period of time, it's going to cost you A, B, C.
Exactly.
And then
that's
I
how
can
it's
do
supposed
it,
to be.
And then you get my certificate or something that says I have,
you
the,
have
right
the right to
use
it.
And then blah, blah, blah. And they were like, and I was like, but isn't this the office for all of that? And they were like, but the artists are refusing to sign with us.
Yeah, that is because they are not benefiting from it.
Mm.
So they are not signing with I've forgotten the name of the association.
Yeah.
But they are not signing because they are not benefiting from it. Was it not recently that Stone Boy came to say that he got 2,000 CDs? All his life from, and that's not right because his music has been playing on TV, on radio,
everywhere.
And it's been being used
in everything, funerals.
So how
everywhere.
Is he not making money from those kind of streams, you know?
And I think,
and that's sad.
And I think the other thing is, I mean, with people like the Stone Boys and the Sarkodies, because they're making money from their streamings on Spotify and whatnot, they're not really bothering with Ghana, and so our people can get on and do what they want.
Not necessarily. The system isn't working here.
Okay.
The only way they can make money is concerts.
Yeah.
Even the Spotify Apple streaming, it's not that much. Like, it's not that much that you can always, you know, sometimes, yes, if you're a major artist, you can make so much money, but it's not really, you know, for them, it's mostly for Ghanaian artists. The major source of income is concerts, and that cannot be right.
Yeah. Because even what you have to put in for a concert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Either brand endorsement or concerts.
Yeah.
And it can't be fair for only that to be the only way. There should be other means, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's see how it goes, because I think everybody in any industry, specifically in the arts, all these things you are talking about just resonates
exactly.
with them, because it's
I
the
think
same thing.
There's one last thing I would like to change. I feel like women in the industry are not really pushed like the way than the guys are pushed. I don't know if it's the women or if the artists themselves that are not pushing themselves. Or
you think that there isn't enough space made available
for women to thrive in the industry. And it's very difficult for women. Women in the industry have to work twice as hard.
I think it's across the board in anything. As a woman, you have to be 2-3 times better. And when you're outside as a black woman, you need to be 10 times better to get the
unfortunately.
Safety. Unfortunately. Yeah. Okay, a couple of questions to wrap up. What is the best advice you have ever been given?
That's a tough one. Okay. The best advice I have been given is, I've been put on the spot, but basically is to keep moving forward.
Yeah,
no matter when you have a setback and when things get hard, like, you shouldn't stop, because when you stop, it's more like you've given up.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep moving forward, and even if moving forward is difficult, you have to try and keep doing what you do in order to get to where you want to be. And also pray, keep, you know, yeah, so that's it.
What message would you give to your fans tuned in? What do you have to say to them?
Hello to everyone who's tuned in, to my fans. Keep streaming my music and anticipate more music. There's new music this month, so anticipate new music. Those who haven't heard from me, my name is Asilfi. You can Google me or you can search for me on Apple, Spotify, Boomplay, and you find me. Thank you for listening.
Okay, and so obviously, you've already mentioned what's next for you. You've got two EPs coming out. What else artistically do you have coming up soon?
So I have a song coming out this month. I think towards the ending of the month. I think that's pretty much what I can disclose right now.
Okay.
Yes, for the rest is like a work in progress, so I can't talk about it yet.
Okay, yeah. Great. So give us your social media so that people can start following you, and then as things are coming up, you know, they're right there at the forefront of stuff.
So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Asilfi Music. That is Asilfie Music. And Facebook is Asilfi.
Excellent. So just no Instagram?
Oh, Instagram and Twitter. Is Asilfi Music. Twitter.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I was like, ooh, did I not miss it? Okay, so thank you very much for joining us. This is where we end.
Thank you too.
You have great music. I really wish it gets more. It's like, be like water.
You'll
find your way.
Yeah.
Way through it. And of course, thank you to AB for his usual technical skills in the background there. And thank you, the audience, for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoy the show's new format. We just get straight to it. Let's hear your views and suggestions by contacting us at africaglobalradio.com, on Twitter and Instagram, AF Global Radio, Facebook, Africa Global Radio. And of course, you can send us a WhatsApp on +233 2070 64680. Arts Africa is brought to you by Africa Global Radio. I wish you guys have a great weekend. Make sure you join us next Saturday on the show at noon. That is 12 noon next Saturday. My name is Alba K. Supreme, and we are signing out with Dumb Love. Now tell me, what's Dumb Love all about?
So Dumb Love is just a girl singing about her being in love. You know, it's just, you know, she's feeling, she's just in the what's it called, she's just feeling groovy in the air, you know, she's high on the romance, you know what I mean? So yeah, so that's, it's just somebody in love singing.
Okay, so
makes you a little bit, you know, when they say love makes people do crazy things. Yeah so Dumb that's Love.
Okay, so intro us, let's play out with you singing the intro of the song for us.
Yeah. Da 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 da. Do 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 be do 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 da da. Met a guy in Accra. He said he wants to take me everywhere I'd follow. Everywhere I'd follow. I'd follow you. You can meet joy in love. You give me strength to love. You make me groove. I feel something inside me. I like the way you make me feel. Yeah.
Wow. thank you. Okay, thank so you now too. We're going to sign out with the recorded version. Everybody, once again, thank you for joining us. And don't forget to tune in next week. Have a great weekend.
Your love makes me want to go tap, tap.